One of the reasons that a lot of people have such a tendency to have an initial shock, kind of this whole idea of dinosaurs and humans, is, and I've talked to people about this very matter, is they think it's kind of ridiculous, just on the surface, to think that humans could have ever lived with these creatures. I mean, they think that it's crazy to think that humans could have lived with Allosaurus or some kind of raptor that have very sharp claws that could easily, you know, slit our necks and kill us, or have tails that simply could have hit us across the head and killed us. To a lot of people, they think dinosaurs were massive, amazing, vicious creatures, and there's no way that humans possibly could have lived with these animals. One gentleman said, it's ludicrous to suggest that man cohabited with the dinosaurs in an alley-oop kind of world, that cartoon known as alley-oop. Man could not have lived in a world full of dinosaurs, allegedly. The idea, again, is, well, they were too big, too mighty, too powerful, too, you know, teeth too sharp, claws too big. No way humans could have lived with these animals. And that's just a comment. It is a thought that a lot of people have had. And one of the reasons why they have a hard time even really considering this possibility. Well, I would just consider for a moment that when you think about all of the animals that we currently live with on this planet, it's pretty amazing that we can still flourish on this planet. That is, you have animals like the Komodo dragon, which can grow to be about 10 feet long, that have deadly bacteria that live in their mouths, that if they bit you, you would at the very least have to go to the hospital and might very well die. Most of the things that they bite, they become infected with this disease and they begin to die at that moment. We live on this planet with the animal known as a lion, which throughout history has been considered a very vicious animal that has killed many, many people. Have we still been able to flourish? Are there still billions of people on this planet today? Or the mighty tiger that has been trained to do amazing things. You see, man has not only been able to flourish and live with all of these different animals on earth today, but man has amazingly been able to even tame most of these animals. I mean, think about it. Vicious lions and tigers. People have trained to do things you couldn't even get your, if I might say, dumb dog to do. I have a little half weenie dog, half Springer Spaniel at my house. We call him a spring weenie. We've trained that dog to sit, and I'll have to tell you that in order to get him trained to come, when we say come, we had to invest in a shock collar. I highly recommend those, by the way. I love animals, but I was talking to a dog trainer up in Missouri one time, and she said the best way to train your dog is to get a pinch collar or a shock collar. And we got that, and he was trained in one day. I do not lie. As far as being able to come, when he hears that word come, he associates that with shock, and he comes because he doesn't want to get shocked. So we don't have to use a shock collar that much. Anyway, animals like this have been trained to do things you couldn't even get a lot of your pets to do. Call the mighty elephant. African imperial elephant. These animals are the largest living land animals on earth today. They can grow to weigh 22,000 pounds. Now listen closely. According to evolutionary dinosaur fossil hunter Jack Horner, the average dinosaur, from what we know from the fossil record, was the size of a large cow. A lot of people have been misled to believe that all the dinosaurs were large, massive, huge, amazing creatures. Some of them were very large. The average one, according to the most famous evolutionary dinosaur hunter in the world, Jack Horner, said was the size of a large cow. African elephants are 2, 3, 4, 5 times larger than the average dinosaur was, according to what we know from the fossil record. And yet man has not only been able to live with, even use these elephants in war, as I talked about General Hannibal 2,200 years ago, but man has been able to train them to do some amazing things. Now, these that I have pictured here are the, most of these are the Asian elephant. Couldn't find as many of the African elephants. That man has trained these animals to do these things. What about the deadly killer whales that swim in the open seas? You who live in Florida and live not too far away from Orlando and that place called what? SeaWorld. Know that people have trained. Now, if anything's crazy, this is crazy to me. People will stick their hands and their heads into the mouths of killer whales. But killer whales have been trained. These animals that can weigh 5 to 10,000 pounds and have 50 or 60 sharp teeth in their mouths. Does that make sense? Well, it doesn't. From the standpoint of the idea that the accusation, the allegation that humans could have not, they could not have survived in a world full of dinosaurs. Well, I'm sorry, I don't buy that. We have survived and flourished in a world full of lions and tigers and bears and killer whales that we've trained to do all sorts of things. Argentinosaurus, yes, was a very large dinosaur. But even Argentinosaurus was small compared to the blue whale that still lives on this planet today, that has the heart the size of a Volkswagen. I can't talk today. Maybe I'm from Germany. Volkswagen Beetle. I guess they would say Volkswagen. I don't know. That has an aorta so large that a small person could crawl through it. That has a tongue so big that 40 people could stand on it at one time. And people have been able to boat next to, certainly kill, and even swim and get in the water with. I have a picture not of a blue whale, but of another whale that was pictured in National Geographic a few years ago of a man. Let me look at this. I don't know. That's just, you couldn't pay me enough money to go down to the bottom of the ocean and just take a picture of a humpback whale or whatever kind of whale it is. I'm not sure what it is exactly. That's amazing. Why is it that humans have been able to live with all these different animals? Well, it's right there in the beginning of our Bibles. God created man in His image. In the image of God, He made them. Male and female, He made them. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. They are to subdue it. God made man in His image, and with that ability, making man different than the animal world, making him in His likeness. And I believe there is a lot said there, not a whole lot of explanation on what that means. But one of the things that allows man to do is have dominion over and subdue the animals that are here on this earth. You can read in James chapter 3, it's right around verse 7, I believe it is, where God, or James, through inspiration, says, yeah, that man has tamed and trained all different kinds of animals. In that passage, you recall, he's talking about how no man can tame the tongue. You have to keep it on a short leash. But man's been able to train and tame all sorts of animals. So I do not think it is unreasonable to think that humans, you know, could have lived with these creatures. The accusation is, all they just couldn't have, and it's passed off with kind of a wave of the hand. Now let's notice some physical evidence, some things that I believe indicate and point toward a time when humans and dinosaurs once lived together. You can go out to the Natural Bridges National Monument in southeastern Utah. And by the way, I'm going to go through some of these things kind of fast for time's sake. But let me encourage you, if you get an opportunity, to go to apologeticspress.org. Apologeticspress.org. Go to our website. You'll see a category called Creation versus Evolution, and under that is a category called Dinosaurs, where you can read and hear in our audio-visual area of the website all sorts of different things about dinosaurs, and much more information than I can get into today in this short period that we have together. Natural Bridges National Monument, there's one of the three largest natural bridges in the world called Kachina Bridge there, and there at Natural Bridges National Monument, you will find a lot of different rock art, a lot of different illustrations, carvings, paintings on the rocks there. There are wild goats, there are handprints, there are carvings of, well, I'll let you tell me, what do you think this is a carving of right here? What is that? What would you guess that is? A person. Now, is that a scientifically accurate representation of a person, or is it obviously a human's ability to carve what people would interpret as a human person? Well, obviously. Yes, not a scientifically accurate, they weren't trying to be scientifically accurate, they were drawing these things. And you could go there and you could say, well, that's obviously some kind of wild goat. They call it an ibex. By the way, that's no longer living there today, but they used to live there, and we know they used to live there based upon their drawings. In other areas of the Southwest, like in the Havasupai Canyon, they have carvings even of elephants, of what appear to be mammoths in that area, ancient carvings. What would that indicate? That they saw them one time in that area. Okay, well, here's another one of the illustrations there at the Natural Bridges National Monument. Looks kind of like that dog you have at home, doesn't it? Or maybe the hippopotamus you saw down at the zoo, or maybe the giraffe. Now, again, I could sit here and I could quote to you, I could quote a lot of different creationists and Christians and what they have to say about these drawings. But as you can see, I hope you've been able to see so far, I'm interested in you even seeing what the evolutionists have to say about these things. Now, I want to show you a couple of evolutionists who are authorities in the area of rock art. I'm not, okay? I'm not a rock art expert. But I want you to see what a couple of different evolutionists have said about this particular piece of rock art. By the way, this is blown up for you and highlighted so that you can see it better without the outlining in the PowerPoint program. Here is a quotation from Fran Barnes, an evolutionist who wrote a book called Canyon Country Prehistoric Indians, Their Culture, Ruins, Artifacts, and Rock Art. He said, "There is a petroglyph or rock carving in Natural Bridges National Monument that bears a startling resemblance to a dinosaur, specifically a brontosaurus with long tail and neck, small head, and all." We have his book back at Apologetics Press. He doesn't then go on to say, yes, but this is a fake carving that a Christian or a creationist did 150 years ago after we discovered dinosaur bones in modern times, and they're just trying to trick people and make them believe that... No, that's not what he said. "From everything we can tell, this is a legitimate carving believed to be done by the Anasazi Indians who lived in this area between about AD 500 and about AD 1400. Here is another evolutionary rock art expert called Dennis Slifer, a geologist from the Southwest, wrote a book called Guide to Rock Art of the Utah Region back in the year 2000. This is what he said about it. He said, "One of the most curious designs there at Kachina Bridge is a petroglyph that resembles a dinosaur, which is apparently of Anasazi origin based on its patination, based on the pecking of the rock, based upon the natural desert varnish that covers the rock." He said, "Yeah, it's a curious design that does resemble a dinosaur." He didn't go on to say, "Yeah, but it's not," or whatever. I appreciate, again, the honesty of these men who just said, "Hey, this is it, and this is what it looks like." My question is, if we only began learning about dinosaurs from the fossil record in recent times, and there would be people who say things like, "Yeah, but maybe they saw a dinosaur bone out there in the Southwest." Well, first of all, evolutionists have told us that very, very few dinosaurs, comparatively speaking, dinosaur fossils, are what they call articulated. Are buried in the same way you see them in life. Because when they die, when you go to a lot of these dinosaur graveyards, if you will, mass graves like on the Utah-Colorado border, the bones are all jumbled in a chaotic state, like they died in some kind of a catastrophe. So it's a very difficult thing for people in modern times, scientists, it's a very meticulous job to go out and piece by piece excavate these dinosaur bones and then go to museums and try to connect them together to decide what they look like in real life when they lived. In fact, there's the Carnegie Museum, I believe it's in, I think it's Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Just a few years ago, they said they're going to have to redo their entire dinosaur exhibit. Why? Because there were so many things they had wrong. Digging up dinosaur bones, excavating them, is a very meticulous process, and there's no evidence that the ancients used to do that. So how did the Anasazi Indians draw what at least two evolutionists and authorities on this subject, how did they draw what appear to be dinosaurs? Well, I believe that the explanation is either their forefathers saw them and passed down descriptions of them to them, or they saw them themselves. By the way, there are Apatosaurus or Brontosaurus, same dinosaur, different names. There's history there. We won't go into it right now. Fossils in that very area. I took a picture next to one in the dinosaur museum that they had found about 40 years earlier in that same area. So we know dinosaurs once lived there. Here's one of the many temples in Cambodia built around AD 700 to AD 1300. You can go to the Ta Prohm Temple there. It was actually featured in one of the Lara Croft movies. I don't know anything about the Lara Croft movies, but I was told that this particular temple was featured in one of them. You can go there and you can see carvings that are right at about 1,000 years old in this particular temple. A lot of them. And I realize, young people, that this may be information you've never seen before. You may be very skeptical of it. Let me challenge you. I don't expect you to believe everything I'm saying today just because I say it. I don't want you to. Understand that. I want you to go look. I want you to study these matters for yourself. Don't leave here and say, "Well, I believe in this because Eric Lyons does." No, don't put your faith in me. Don't put it in David Sproul or Dan Jenkins or your youth minister or your preacher or your mom or your dad. You need to look for yourself, because you are going to have to develop your own faith in this life. And it begins with the Word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And I believe that the Word of God has made everything and makes everything make sense in this life. And it is the only thing that ultimately makes everything make sense. Here's a corner of the Ta Prohm Temple. At the south wall of the porch and the east wall of the main body of what is called the Gopura, right here is a 10-foot column covered in decorative circles. There are a lot of different animals that are carved here, including animals like this that I would contend. We would probably say that's some kind of salamander or some kind of lizard. Here's one of some kind of water buffalo or some kind of cow, you might say. There are images that are carved onto the rock there of monkeys, of different kinds of birds. You could even, they're so well done, you can even tell the difference between birds. Like one bird appears to be a swan, one appears to be a parrot. And so they did seem to do a very good job representing a variety of different animals, real animals. Underneath this, what appears to be some kind of water buffalo, is one of the more interesting / amazing carvings there at the Ta Prohm Temple. In fact, someone mentioned this to me just a few minutes ago. It is of this creature here, and I'll blow it up for you. I've read what a lot of skeptics have said about these matters, and I haven't seen any skeptic, any critic, ever say, yes, this has been faked, it was forged. No, from everything I have ever read, seen, and studied on this, even by the critics, no one has come out to say, yes, but man forged this or faked this about 300 years ago or whatever. No, this appears legitimate, just like the other one did that we showed a few minutes ago. Well, what is this? I showed it to a middle school class that I don't think had ever seen this image before. I just asked. Did not set them up. Wasn't begging them to tell me that this was this or that. I just said, what do you think this is? I showed them a variety of animals. I was just clicking through pictures. What is this? What is this? What is this? What is this? Do you know what every one of them said when they came to this image? Said, it looks like a dinosaur. Said, it looks like a stegosaurus. You don't have to take my word for it. Here is a stegosaurus. Now again, they don't dig these things up in the ground that look like this. They dig up bones, and usually not all of them. In fact, do you realize that dinosaur fossils are, even though they've been found on all the different continents, that 45% of all dinosaurs have been named based upon one fossil specimen. That's from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences magazine, a very pro-evolutionary magazine. 45% of all dinosaurs have been named from one fossil specimen. I mean, you know, here's a toe bone. Okay, we come up with a dinosaur name for that. 74% of all dinosaurs have been named based upon five fossil specimens or less. I say that to say, when you see an image like this of Stegosaurus, it may be that Stegosaurus didn't look exactly like that, okay? It might have. And some might say, well, Eric, that rock art you saw a minute ago that you say kind of looks like a Stegosaurus doesn't look exactly like that. I totally agree. But again, I don't think the ancients who were carving these things 1,000 years ago were being and felt like they had to be precisely, scientifically accurate in every measurement of an animal. I think it is interesting that I had a friend give me this. Actually gave one of my kids this toy Stegosaurus a few years ago. It was one of those things that was in an egg, and you put the egg in water and the egg hatches. You ever had one of those? They're really cool toys. You might go to the dollar store sometime and get you one. They're kind of neat. And so this thing hatched, and guess what? It was labeled as a Stegosaurus. Does that look like this? Well, see, you're kind of like, yeah, it does, but then it doesn't. I mean, obviously, everyone knows what the toy makers, manufacturers were trying to do, right? They were trying to imitate the Stegosaurus, trying to make a toy that resembled it, but it was in a kind of a tight enclosure, a circle, an egg. And so it's got a little bit of a fatter head and a little bit bigger tail and no tail spikes. This is a modern day manufactured toy of what is supposed to be a Stegosaurus that we have found out about from the fossil record. Here is a 1,000-year-old carving on a temple wall of what? Well, I'll let you make that up. You can decide for yourself what it is. I know that there are a couple of gentlemen who have written a couple of different books, and they are not pro-creation books, okay? On things regarding ancient Cambodian artwork and their temples. And in their book, Angkor, Cities and Temples, they said this. They said roundels on pilasters on the south side of the west entrance of the are unusual in design there at the Top Ram Temple. In particular, an animal which bears a striking resemblance to a what? That's what they said, a stegosaurus. In ancient Angkor, their book, Ancient Angkor, they said something very similar. They said there was a very convincing representation of a what? Of a stegosaurus. I'm going to advance, because of our time, I'm going to advance to several slides. These are just other pieces of ancient artwork, hundreds or thousands of years old. This one about 500 years old. By the way, here's a skeptic's website, which said in the case of Bishop Bell's dinosaur, calling this one here a dinosaur, they said, could it have been a hoax? They said, in the case of Bishop Bell's dinosaur, there is no corresponding profit motive, again, that this would have been a hoax. Furthermore, they said the animal to the right, though, does look rather more like a quadrupedal dinosaur than any other animal past or present. This is from a skeptic's website, by the way. Here's one of the slides I wanted to make sure to get to, because most people haven't heard of these, and you're probably not going to see them in your science textbooks anytime soon. For many years, apparently, scientists who were digging up dinosaur bones, they weren't breaking them because, you know, why would we break a fossil? We have a nice fossil right here. Let's not break them. A few years ago, sure, some have been broken from time to time, but I don't know that many of them had been broken intentionally. Well, Science Magazine reported back on March the 25th, 2005, that they had uncovered, Mary Schweitzer was one of the doctors there at the site, that they had excavated a T-Rex, a femur, I believe it was. But it was so big that they couldn't get it on the helicopter and get it out of the excavation site, so they had it broken in half. And they took it back to their lab. Mary Schweitzer teaches at, I don't know if this would have been at North Carolina State University at the time, took it back to some lab. And by the way, she's an evolutionist. And they took it back to the lab, and then they began to look at it. And they began to examine it more and more. And they began to demineralize it some. I mean, you can't just do that to something that has been totally fossilized and turned into rock. And they begin to notice what they pictured in the magazine. Soft tissues, preserved within hind limb elements of a Tyrannosaurus rex. They said removal of the mineral phrase reveals transparent, flexible, hollow blood vessels. Some regions of demineralized bone matrix are highly fibrous, and the matrix possesses elasticity and resilience. They said the demineralized fragment is flexible and resilient, and when stretched, returns to its original shape. These are the pictures that they took of the tissue inside of a dinosaur bone that they allege is 70 million years old. Demineralization of femur and tibia fragments revealed the preservation of fibrous, flexible, and apparently original tissues, as well as apparent cells and blood vessels. I realize someone might say, Eric, that doesn't prove that humans and dinosaurs live together. I tell you what it does do for me. It makes me very skeptical to think, You're banking on that dinosaur bone being 70 million years old according to your assumption-based evolutionary dating methods. Assumption-based. And by the way, they cannot date the rock, the sandstone that these fossils are in. They date igneous rocks and so forth, not the sandstone rocks. And so it is assumed that it's 70 million years old, but then they say, yes, but you know, we have dinosaur bones that are not completely fossilized. And we have dinosaur bones in them with fibrous, flexible, apparently original tissues. Here were some of the headlines that were that you'll find in various newspapers about this particular find. 70 million year old T-Rex fossil dug out of a huge hunk of sandstone has yielded soft tissue, including blood vessels. Paleontologists were stunned to find soft tissue of a 70 million year old dinosaur. These are not my headlines. These are headlines from newspapers and very pro-evolutionary blogs and so forth from around the country. Was preserved within the fossil of a Tyrannosaurus rex to find soft tissue. Alan Boyle, who's the science editor of MSNBC, was just a few years ago, reported the following on July the 24th, 2007. He said, today, paleontologists are stunned. Notice this. Not only to find material that looks like dinosaur cartilage, blood vessels, blood cells, and bone cells, but to see the stuff in so many different specimens. Wait a minute. You mean this isn't the only dinosaur bone they found this in? He said, there are a growing number of tissue samples. He said it's not just a fluke occurrence, it's something that's more pervasive in the fossil record. Now, some of you may not be very impressed by this. Again, my point is not to come here and impress you. My point is try to inform you about some of these amazing things, discoveries that oftentimes young people and older people don't know, haven't heard anything about. I think it's pretty remarkable that they're finding a growing number of fossil specimens that are not completely fossilized and have soft tissue in them. They've excavated a T-Rex and a Hadrosaur from Montana, a Titanosaurus from Madagascar, and more samples that fossil hunter Jack Horner is finding in Mongolia as well as Montana. Regarding the Hadrosaur specimen found there in Montana, Dr. Mary Schweitzer, whom I mentioned earlier, stated it's the freshest. Now get this. It's supposedly 70 million years old, but she says it's the freshest, if you will, dinosaur bone that has ever had this analysis conducted on it. What we're finding is absolutely incredible, amazing preservation. I would contend that it sounds and it is ludicrous to contend that these bones of these animals that still have soft, flexible, fibrous, resilient tissue in them that is not completely fossilized is 70 million years old. One particular newspaper writer said that it's miraculously preserved soft tissue from the femur of a 68 million year old T-Rex bone. Well, yes, you know what I would say? Is that if there is soft tissue in a 68 million year old T-Rex bone, then I would contend that, yeah, it must be miraculously preserved. I believe the better answer is these dinosaurs didn't live 70 million years ago. By the way, I mentioned this earlier. I want to try to get to this before we pause for lunch. For years and years, we have been told in science textbooks that the only mammals that lived during the time of the dinosaurs were small, mostly mouse-sized, and rare. The sad truth is, Thomas Hayden wrote in 2002, mammals coexisted with dinosaurs for 150 million years, but were never, never able to go beyond little rat-like things. These kind of statements are what drive me crazy and just bother me when evolutionists tell, especially young people, here is the truth, young person, mammals were never, what did he say? Never able to go beyond little rat-like things. These kinds of statements have been made by evolutionists over and over and over again. Now, here's another one from Joseph Varanga back in, I forgot exactly what year this was. I put the month, but forgot to put the year on there. Conventional evolutionary theory says that the early mammals were timid, chipmunk-sized creatures that scurried in the looming shadows of the giant reptiles. And then just a few years ago, in 2005, the pro-evolutionary website LiveScience.com reported how a fossil mammal 20 times larger than what evolutionists previously believed to be possible was reported to be in the same fossil beds as the dinosaurs. You know, some might say, and I totally believe, and by the way, I wanted to make sure I clarify myself. Someone was asking me about this earlier. I totally understand that science, being experimental, is always going to come up with, you know, I hope that science continues to come up with new things. And I think it is appropriate to pray that we, if it be God's will, that we find cures for various cancers. One of my colleagues, as I mentioned last night, has been struggling with thyroid cancer. My dad has had colon cancer. I'm going in for screening next week because cancer has been in my family. I would love it. Wouldn't it be marvelous if a cure for various cancers was found? That's going to be a change in science. I totally understand, and it's great that new things are being found in the sciences. But what bothers me is in this theoretical science, these type of assurance statements are made of this is the way it is. Mammals never lived with dinosaurs. They never got beyond little rat-like things. And we found a fossil, and now our total story has changed. If you ever read some of the things about the Scopes trial in 1925, it's amazing, time and time and time again, and I'm going to talk about this more in our next period, evolution is supposedly proven by things which a few years down the road, those things are disproven, but evolutionists continue to believe as factual. Because, well, we got new evidence. Well, what has happened time and time again is that new evidence, a few years down the road, guess what? It gets to be disproven, or at the very least, shown to not be adequate evidence for what they are saying it proves. Another mammal discovered in the same region actually had the remains of a 5-inch dinosaur in its stomach. Here is a mammal that had a 5-inch dinosaur in its stomach, the remains of one. What does that mean? Well, it probably means that that mammal ate a small dinosaur. I'm just guessing there. I'm just guessing. Psittacosaurus. In February 2006, this would have been, let's see, a year or so after this previous story. February 2006, it was announced that a mammal. Now get this. Think about this in light of the statements that we just read here. These statements, in light of what they discovered in 2005, in light of what they discovered in 2006. In February 2006, it was announced that a mammal that looked very much like a beaver was unearthed in China in a layer of rock that supposedly is 164 million years old. This is 100 million years, according to their dating methods and system and chronology, before most evolutionary scientists believed that mammals could swim or grow larger than a shrew. Here's a fossil find of a beaver-like animal that all of a sudden they say, well, yep, I guess here was a mammal that lived 100 million years before he was supposed to have lived. Again, I totally understand science is going to uncover new things, and I'm so thankful for that. If that's the case, then quit making these crazy statements that cannot be proven, that have been made in textbooks time and time and time again. Go back and study the 1925 Scopes monkey trial and see some of the evidence they gave for us evolving from monkeys. Now that's been totally disproven. Well, actually, you know, that alleged Nebraska man, now we know this, and now we know about this particular... Actually, we know that fossil that was used to try to prove that was one of our ape-like ancestors, now we know that wasn't even an ape fossil or a human fossil, it was some other kind of animal. This is what we get over and over and over again. This discovery of a furry beaver-like animal that lived at the same time of dinosaurs overturned more than a century of scientific thinking about Jurassic mammals. The find shows that the ecological role of mammals in the time of the dinosaurs was far greater than previously thought. This is from an article back in 2006. Again, more than a century, more than 100 years of statements about mammals not living with dinosaurs, at least no mammals other than tiny, small, shrew-like, rat-like animals, which has been made for decades, for a century, one single fossil find, yet overturned all of this. I'll start to wind down this hour before we stop for lunch here. These were called index fossils for a number of years. Coelacanths, index fossils. Coelacanths were once thought to be the missing link in evolution of fishes to amphibians. We were taught this, mankind has been taught this for a number of years. Fossil coelacanths. This is a statement from, again, another pro-evolutionary website, which were first discovered in 1839, in the fossil record, that is, had an arrangement of bones in the fleshy portion of their skin that was similar to that in the hind limbs of modern land animals. For almost a century, paleontologists thought early coelacanths were close ancestors of the first vertebrates to walk on land. They were known as index fossils. What that means is, if a scientist, an evolutionist, sees this particular fossil in the ground, in the geologic table there, that they say somehow they know for sure this animal evolved from this animal, and here's a layer of rock that's supposedly so many millions of years old. They said this is an index fossil, and so the idea was if you see a coelacanth fossil, you can know for sure that layer of rock is at least 60 plus million years old. Because that's when they became extinct. That's when they died out. You know what they found in modern times? And we've known this now since the 1930s, that mankind has been catching coelacanths now for more than 100 years. In fact, it was kind of first known among, scientists who had been telling this story that the coelacanth had gone extinct millions of years ago, they found some Indonesian fishermen who were catching these, and they've also been caught in other areas in the Indian Ocean and off the coast of Madagascar. They've been found still living today. Now, there would be scientists who would say, yeah, but that's just a little different. They probably wouldn't use the word breed. That's a little different breed of the coelacanth than what we had 70 million years ago. I would contend, no, this is a coelacanth. The fossil record of the coelacanths show coelacanths that lived at one time and they died, and these coelacanths are still living today. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us, by the way, because there are a lot of animals still alive today that, even according to evolutionists, they were alive during the time of the dinosaurs, according to their theory, like turtles and sharks. Well, here are coelacanths that are still alive today. And yet, we've been told, at one time we were told again, these things became extinct millions and millions of years ago. Please understand, I'm a fan of science. I love science. My kids love science. I work right next door to a scientist, and am so thankful that God created this world that we could study and learn many great things from. What I am so sad of and frustrated with are people who are striving to immerse our nation, our young people especially, into this idea of you evolved from slime millions and millions of years ago. And here is the proof of that. No, that's what their theory says. That's what their story says. But that is not what the proof is. Everything that we see in the world in which we live perfectly agrees with what we read here in God's Word.